to say. If you're not talking about God, you're not talking about much anything. So we thank you that we have you as our Father and that you love us so dearly. We thank you that we can just always, because of what your Son did, we can always be in your presence and talk to you and commune with you, God, and go directly to you for the things that are on our hearts. We thank you for each and every person here today, for all their cares, God, that we just give them to you and we just come in and open our hearts so that we can hear what it is that you're trying to say to us this very day, this very moment. We thank you for each other and God, how you have put your spirit in us, God. And because of that, we have the ability to manifest your love one to another, God, and how great that is and how important that is that we get this opportunity to fellowship with each other and encourage each other and build each other up. We thank you for every word that will be spoken today out of our mouth from your heart, that it will do what you have purpose for it to do. So we just thank you for this great and wonderful day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Anybody else?
Well, Father, I certainly thank you for your wonderful love. I thank you that we can laugh. Merry heart doeth better than a medicine. Just thank you, Father, for the word that will be shared today, that it will be a blessing. Thank you for our healing, Father. Thank you that we're completely healed because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. I thank you right now for my mom and for her complete healing. I thank you for all of us going, reaching up into Daddy's cookie jar and pulling out the information that we need to completely be healed. And I just thank you for your love and your grace, your tender mercy, and the peace that we can walk with, and that we don't have to be anxious for anything. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father, I thank you for this day, and thank you for your wonderful grace and your wonderful love that you have for all of us. And it's great to hear everybody's voices again. I just thank you for showing me how to continue to walk with you, and that can somehow be a blessing to everybody and me. So I just thank you for your continual healing. Thank you for more fellowships and that I can continue to walk and talk with you all throughout the day. So thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Father, I thank you for your great grace and for your tender mercies that you continue to shower upon each of us every day. Thankful, Father, for the power of your word and the power of your presence in each of our lives, and how that power supersedes anything that we know of as human beings, that is so vast and so mighty, and it's working in us. And it is at our disposal. How grateful we are for that, Father. How grateful we are that we can so simply implement that power by speaking words of faith, of confidence, of trust, that when we have confidence in the things that you have said to us and the things that we have proclaimed of you, that we see mighty signs, miracles, and wonders following us, that we see the healings, that we see the deliverance, we see the miracles that are beyond our expectation, that supersede anything that we could ask or think. We're so grateful for the life that you have called us to, that you have invited us to participate in, by way of your Son, Jesus Christ, by knowing you as a father, knowing him as a brother, knowing him as our example of how to live in this crazy world. And Father, as we follow in his steps, we thank you for giving us the words, giving us not only words, but the power behind those words, that you hold every word up, that not anything that we speak of you or of your Son or proclaiming because of what you have done for each of us will fall to the ground. That they are mighty words, that they are powerful words, because they are words that emanate and originate from you, the creator of all of life. Father, thank you for our eyes being opened to this understanding, that we can know who you have made us, not who we see ourselves as in the mirror, but who you have made us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for these things. Thank you for continuing to show us these things day by day as we hunger and thirst for them, for you, for a knowledge of you, and for an intimate relationship with you. Thanks, Father, for fulfilling your end as we just continue to walk and follow you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time together. And again, all the great things that you have prepared for each of us in that wonderful and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what's been happening, you guys? Anybody have anything on their heart they'd like to share?
Yeah, sure.
All right, Andrew, yeah.
Feel like I always start out. But
A comes first. A.
A.
Andrew,
yeah.
A.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro.
Well, let's see here. A couple days ago, my mom saw an ad on Craigslist for some fabric. So she called me and she was like, hey, I'm going to send you this link. Can you go get this fabric? So yeah, sure. So called the lady and arranged it for a couple days. And I was just my normal self saying hi and everything. And, you know, just, yeah, my normal self didn't really do anything or portray anything. So go to meet her and she's not there at the time, and then she calls me and says she can't make it. So I said, oh, no problem, we'll do it tomorrow or whatever and set it up for the same time. So I go there and meet her and just, you know, just my normal self, hi, don't allude to anything. And she gives me the fabric, I give her the money and everything, and she goes, you know what, you're really kind, you're really nice, right? And didn't say probably 4 or 5 words to her. So anyways, she texts me the second day. She goes, hey, I have even more material, more fabric. And it went from being this one barrel that was full of fabric for $35, which is a really good deal, to she was like, hey, I have some more fabric if you want it for free. I was like, yeah, sure. She'll love that. So anyways, I go and talk to her and her husband. They're like, babe, I go and we meet at the same place, same time and everything. And just like, you know, hi, how's it going? Thank you for the free stuff. And they're like, oh yeah. So they gave me 3 full barrels of fabric and material and stuff. And it's a lot. It can barely fit in my cord. So she's like, and I have some embroidery stuff if your mom's interested in it too. She goes, you're just really sweet and kind. And I like the fact that you're taking care of your mom and everything. So yeah, we just want to bless your lives. So I said, okay, well, let me see about the embroidery stuff and I'll, you know, get back with you. So I go home and mom sees this and she's just like, oh my God, this is so much stuff. I was like, I know, right? So she's like, yeah, I'll take the embroidery stuff. So text her, set it up for the other day. So I'm
there a little early because it's a Saturday, and I'm just like, oh, well, I don't have anything to do, just pray and speak in tongues and everything. And she just shows up, and she just gets out of the car, just crying, like I just bawling. And I say, hey, what's going on? She goes, you know, it's just, I'm just really blessed just to have met you. And she goes, you're really nice and you're really kind, and I'm really blessed just to have met you. And I said, hey, you wanna? And she gave me the embroidery stuff, and I gave her a hug, and I said, it was really nice to meet you too. I said, would you like to pray? And she said, yeah. So we prayed together, and I told her that if she needed to pray again, she has my number. And she got in the car, and she goes, God bless you, and take care of your mother, and starts crying again. And then, yeah, and then I said, well, God bless you too, and, you know, it's nice to have met you. I'm going home, and I'm talking to God, and I was like coming to a conclusion in my mind. You know when that happens? You come in a conclusion in your mind, and you're just talking to God. It's just like, man, she got healed from just those three interactions somehow. Somehow she got healed. I don't know of what. I don't know what she was going through, but somehow she got her needs met. And partially from giving too. But yeah, I just wanted to bless that. I went and talked to my mom about it, and she was like, well, Andrew, your ministry's just starting. You better get used to it. I said, Mom, I don't like women crying. I can't stand women crying. But yeah, that's what I had to share.
That's wonderful. Wonderful, Andrew. Thanks. That's great. Anyone else?
Yeah, I have something that that's on my heart. I was going back through some of my messages that I received, when Mom fell asleep. And one in particular was one that Candace sent me. She covered this song, The Story I Tell. This is the story I tell. And it just, it comforted my heart so much, and strength, it gave me strength and built me up and stuff. And in light of that, I was thinking about how, you know, we have, and when I say we, I'm talking about, you know, like our group, people we fellowship with, have started to tap into this thing called love, you know, not just, oh, the things that the world talk about, but that love of God and how spiritual it is, and how, I mean, because never before in my life would I have opened up like I'm opening up talking to you all now. The only reason I do that is because of God and because of his love, you know, the way you all share your heart one with another, the way we share our heart one with another with each other, you know, that's something that's not in the world. And yeah, I guess we start to get used to it a little bit and we see it, but when you're out in the world, you don't see that type of interaction, that type of love. And it just reminded me how spiritual that is. And it has to be, the love of God is spiritual, and it has to be that, because, you know, what the world teaches that love is it is not, you know, it's a, I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine, or, you know, however it works, you know, all the feelings, all this and all that. And so, well, this morning, and thinking about it, I went to look up that verse in 1 Peter 4, 8. In the King James Version, it says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourself, for charity shall cover the multitude of sin. And then I went to look at it in the Passion Version, and I would want to read this to you. It says, above all, constantly echo And it says the Greek verb echo can also mean to maintain, to possess, to keep, or to be so closely joined to something that you become its echo. In this case, we join ourselves so closely to God's love that we echo his forgiving, fervent love toward one another. So it's above all things, constantly echo God's intense love for one another, for love will be a canopy over a multitude of sin. You know, and it's like the love that we share, and when, you know, we come to fellowship. I know the first time I ever went to a home fellowship, it was like, what was it that you saw? You know, it was the love of God being manifest that I saw that made me want to come back. You know, I was looking for something. And it's like when I walked in the door, I didn't know exactly what was being spoken or being taught, but I knew I was where I needed to be. And it was the love of God that's being manifest. So I guess my exhortation in this is that, you know, how sometimes we try to be perfect and get everything all right and stuff. You know, she did the song, and I'm going to post it in chat. So if any of you all want to go back later and listen to it. And she might have thought, well, you know, I wasn't perfect. I wasn't dressed like the entertainers or, you know, all made up and everything. And, but it was perfect. The song was so perfect to my heart. And it was because of the love of God that was behind it when it was being sung. So don't underestimate what we have in that love of God and how it does cover a multitude of sins, you know. And when we think that we're delivering it, well, you know, maybe it doesn't look like the world, and it doesn't have to, because, well, you know, we're not of this world. So it is going to look different. It is going to look mushy. It is going to look honest. It is going to look truthful. It is going to look kind and all those other things. It's going to look like that. And the world is not used to seeing that. They're really not used to seeing that. And I knew I wasn't before, you know, I started coming to a fellowship that endeavors to do that. I guess is what I'm trying to say. We endeavor to manifest that in our lives. And, you know, you can leave here and you can go out to a church today and you're not going to necessarily see that manifest, you know? So I'm so thankful to God for what we have. We may be small, but we are very strong and powerful with what we have because we're operating the power of God. So that's kind of what was on my heart.
Great, Vita. Yep. Numbers is not any concern with God. Because the things that we have are so powerful. That's absolutely true. You know, we have an effect where we go, wherever we go, whenever we go, because we're going with God and we have God working in us. And that part of that manifestation of God at work within us is that ability to love as he loves, to love as Jesus Christ loved. And to see those great signs, miracles, and wonders following. That's great. Thanks, Vita. That's wonderful. And, you know, that's a real explanation for what happened with Andrew and that woman. You know, what blessed that woman so much was not necessarily what you communicated in kindness or niceness, but that spiritual reality of what dwells within you at all times. You know, that we do have an impact wherever we go. We do, because we have Christ in us. You know, that's a very powerful thing. So, you know, we should never be surprised when someone responds like that woman responded to you, Andrew, you know, or, you know, seeing the results of someone, you know, walking in love toward us and the healing and, you know, the power that it affects us with. And it really truly is something beyond the senses. It is supernatural because it is spiritual, and it is from, you know, the throne of all of creation. You know, it's from God, you know, at work within us. So that's it's a great reminder, you know. So what else is going on?
This is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hi. I just want to thank Vita for sharing that. It tenderized my heart just listening to what she had to say. I wanted to share this last week, but I wasn't able to get come to fellowship. I have a friend who had bought a boat. And he told me that the best moment in his life, as far as material things, was the day he bought that $50,000 boat. And the second greatest moment of his life was the day he sold it. Because the more you have, the more you owe, is what we came up with. Because when you get things like a boat like that, then you have to maintain it. You pay taxes. You have to have a place for it to stay, and you have to pay for that. And it just never ends. It's like a snowball. And I just thought that was just, I thought that that was just perfect information on, and how we get caught up in things. And I said one time to a friend that catalogs or online places, they make you, they show you need that you really don't have. You end up buying things that, oh, I've always wanted that. I think I'll get that. You get it and you go, well, geez, why did I spend money on this? I'm not going to use this much. And I just thought about human nature and just that, you know, he loves us and he knows that we're trying to get, you know, do our best. But I just thought that was pretty funny. And I think because I've been trying to get in a financial situation and I'm doing so well, I'm very thankful. And I thought about Vita talking about the love of God. And I thought, this is how we love God, by doing what is best for us, because he wants us to have the best so we can be free to live for him wherever we are.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's it.
Okay. All right. Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. That's great. Anybody else?
I'm thankful that you guys started late because I woke up late.
That's okay, Tim. We're always here for you, man.
I know that.
Good. How you doing down there?
Doing good. I miss Melissa.
I bet you do.
Wonder how she's doing. Can't talk to her. Can't see her. I can't even send her a birthday card. So.
Right.
Sucks.
So when will she be done with the training, with the basic training?
Month, and then I guess she goes into the training for the nursing, you know, after that.
Oh, she's going to do nursing.
I think so. I think it's the medical field.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I don't know that she ever really told Patty or I what exactly she was going to be focused on. But that's great. For those of you who don't know, Melissa, Tim's daughter, went into the Navy. So she's up there at Great Lakes right now, right?
Freezing.
Yep, freezing. That's good. Makes them tough.
Yeah, I'm a Navy vet myself.
That's right.
Yeah. I went to basic training in San Diego back in 1984, 1990. I did about a little more than 10 years, and I did 2 Westpacs on the USS Constellation, aircraft carrier. And that was, you know, I did that. And so I've been pretty much around the world. I've been to the Philippines and all over. I went to Africa once and Australia. Seen a lot of the world. And now this, you know, it was pretty interesting. So, there's a lot of things we take for granted here in the United States. So, but I just thank God that I can fellowship with the believers, especially all over the world. So, it's pretty nice to do that. So, I know I was gone for a while, but my heart is still always wanting to serve God and keep God first in my life. So that's why I'm back. And I've been in the hospital for a while, but I got out about a month ago. I'm feeling, I had surgery on my right foot. Basically on both feet, really, because I lost both my baby toes on my left and right feet. But I know God will continue to bless me and heal me and keep my blood sugar low, and because I have diabetes, but I don't want to claim it. But that's why I'm here today, because I want God to get rid of it. But enough about me. So that's why I'm here, because I wanted to learn how to keep my focus back on Jesus Christ and move on into everyone. So, and learn how to bless people once again.
Darryl, thanks. Yeah. You know, you just continue to do the things that build your confidence and faith in God's promise, and you know, you'll be fine, right? Because Jesus Christ made you whole, and he did that 2,000 years ago. So our efforts are all geared towards believing that reality, believing that truth, so that we can receive it and walk in it. So you just continue to keep your heart focused on God, right? And the Lord Jesus Christ.
Donnie.
Yes.
I was just up walking around and not crawling. How about that?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. Man, there wasn't even anybody there to take you by the hand and lift you up.
Kathy did when she prayed.
There you go.
Yes.
That's it. Sometimes you don't need that physical presence. It's the reality of what comes when we're together. That's for sure. We you know, that isn't that so wonderful? You know how, you know, when we come together as believers, and we're really endeavoring to speak words of edification and comfort and exhortation one with another, regardless of whether it's, you know, a formal manifestation or it's just the way we're interacting and speaking, because we're tuned in with the Father and we know why we're here. The purpose of what we're here for is to focus and build our faith. And boy, when we come together, we can't help but step up to the next level and believe God and take action on that belief. And that's the purpose. That's why we come together. You know, that's why the scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, like the manner of some is. You know, I don't need it. Don't need it. I got God. I don't need you. And yet God says, no, you're my family. You come together. And when you do come together, there'll be great benefit to you. There'll be great effects happening in you, powerful effect happening. Because That's what we're focused on. Not focused on the problems. We're focused on God's power that delivers. And man, that's such a blessing. So yeah, praise God. That's great.
Yeah, I know a lot of times that we've had like weekends in the world, in the word.
Yeah.
And we'd go away and, you know, we'd be up in the mountains or wherever we are, you know, and it's like you have no pain, no nothing. It's like you're just floating on the clouds because of the word that is being spoken and, you know, yeah.
And, you know, it was described many, many years ago, you know, that, you know, our ideal, our vision for our fellowships is to be as a precursor to the gathering together, right? That this reminds us of what's in store for us, because this is where we can shut the world out and we can be focused on who we are in Christ and enjoy it and see it. See its powerful effect in our lives. Yeah, man, it's just, it's wonderful. It becomes more than just acquiescence, you know, remember that word acquiescence, right? I looked it up again today and it's a perfect word because that's what most people do when it comes to a knowledge of God and even a knowledge of scripture. Most people just acquiesce to it. They passively accept it, you know, and it is a passive reception. That's what acquiesce means. And, you know, most people say, oh yeah, God can do that. Oh yes, God can do anything. God can do anything he wants. He's all powerful. Yes, he can. Yes. And so we just passively accept it. We don't actively embrace it and really live by it and really walk in it. You know, like the love of God, like you were talking about earlier, you know, the love of God in the renewed mind and manifestation. What a great definition, because it is something that we, you know, restructure our thinking and realizing that we are no longer just five senses, you know, body and soul, men and women. We are filled with the power of God, and we can therefore manifest that power in many different ways. Just as Christ did, just as Christ walked and hugged the leper. That had to have been the most incredible manifestation of love that leper had ever experienced. And it delivered him. And, you know, not to mention those things where he spoke and people were delivered. They were healed. They were raised from the dead. We know this. Devil spirits were cast out at his word. At his word. Just by simply saying, you spirit, go. Be gone. Get the heck out. Just by that, devil spirits would flee from him. Flee from their housing, that individual they were housed in, and deliver that individual. You know, this is what we have when we actively embrace the truth of the word that we have been taught and has been communicated to us. When we actively embrace those things that we hear in these fellowships, we don't just receive them passively. It's like receiving the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, we receive it, right? We're born again of God's Spirit, and God puts that Spirit within us. Now it is up to us and what we have been taught about it, whether or not we begin to use it or not, right? There's a difference between a passive reception and an active reception. One that is active, one that you're embracing wholly and completely and really living and really walking in, really claiming, really, really looking at every situation with the eyes of God and the eyes of our Lord Jesus Christ, the way he perceived things. As a man walking around doing the same things we have to do, dealing with the same things. I imagine that his back went out on him once in a while, maybe tempted in all things like as we are, yet without sin, without succumbing to unbelief, he walked with great confidence in God. He was faced with every challenge that we are faced with, and yet he went to his father wholeheartedly and said, "You have the resources for me in this situation, whether it be food, water, clothing, or a manifestation of supernatural power. I will have everything I need because God is my all in all." That's how Christ walked. That's how we walk. When we get beyond that simple acquiescence, when we really embrace and walk in this truth. Jerusalem, Israel, was in that situation. Israel, the Jews, were in that situation where they had acquiesced to the scripture, but they never really fully embraced it and recognized who the Christ was who was in their midst. Even when he did the mighty works that the Old Testament scriptures that they so-called embraced and knew, even when he fulfilled those things, they still rejected it. That's why, I mean, this is so wonderful to, you know, in the book of Acts, I was reading a little bit about this. My mind was on this when Apollos came, you know, to those believers at Corinth, right? And he had preached to them. It says in Acts 18, a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. Boy, did he know the Old Testament scriptures. He was mighty in them. He knew them. Came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. He knew only up to that point of the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. They said, "You know, we're going to bring you a bit further than the baptism of John, because he was only proclaiming what was yet to come, and it has come. So we're going to tell you about that." He didn't know about it. Why? Because that part wasn't necessarily in the scriptures, that which they showed him. It goes beyond the baptism of God, of John. It goes into the new birth and the baptism of the Spirit. And when he had disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much who had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and doing it publicly, showed by the scripture that Jesus was Christ, that Jesus was the Christ, right? He showed them by the scripture. Why? Because they knew the scripture. And so he could show them by the scripture that Jesus was the Christ, that who was they were waiting for. Now we come to this real important part, which really relates to us. It relates to us because it goes beyond just a knowledge of scripture, because it comes into the great reality of what the mystery is all about, right? And I guess I was thinking about this because Michael had sent me a quick, you know, request on, "Hey, we're doing fellowship tomorrow." And as his manner is, he mentioned some things about what he was thinking, you know, about how, you know, we're, you know, real Christians believe that there's one God. Now, he didn't say all of this, but this is, you know, we all know this. We're not Trinitarian. We're Christian, you know? So when a Trinitarian asks you, "What, you don't believe in the Trinity?" And his response is, "No, I'm a Christian," which I thought was great. And more than that, taking a step beyond, he said, "I'm a Mysterian, like a mystery. I believe the mystery," right? Which is something that nothing in the scripture speaks of. And so the scripture does not declare it until we get to that place where God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And he revealed it not by a knowledge of the scripture, but he revealed it by way of that spirit working in him and revealing it to him, showing him, not just by revelation, but showing him by what was going on, by what was happening. When Peter went to the household of Cornelius and all those Gentiles received the same gift that they of Jerusalem, of the Jews, of Christ's disciples, the 12, had received on the day of Pentecost, and then the about 3,000 souls receiving the same thing. It came to pass in chapter 19, right? It came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, finding the certain disciples, and said unto them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" And the margin will say, you know, that literally it's not since you believed, it's did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Hey, when you believed, when you got born again, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Did you receive it into manifestation, right? That was his question to them. Or have you even heard of it? And he said to them, he asked them that. They said unto him, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Spirit. We didn't hear about this. What are you talking about?" "Well, how were you baptized then?" To Paul, this was like unusual. It was unusual, right? We look back and we see the experience of Paul, how he went from being a zealous Jew, killing Christians, throwing them in jail, to being one born of God's Spirit, speaking really now for the true God, speaking the things that God was revealing to him, speaking things that no one had ever considered, because it was now revealed to him by way of the Spirit. Those things regarding the Gentiles being joint heirs, right? Fellow heirs, and of the same body, and that the glory of the riches of that mystery is Christ in each one of them, Christ in you, that hope of glory. So did you receive that glory when you were born again, when you heard it, when you believed? They said, "We didn't even hear about that." Well, this is more than just the gift of Holy Spirit that was given on the day of Pentecost. It's the full revelation of it and what it really means. And he was eager to see if they'd received it. They hadn't received it because all they knew was the baptism of John, right? How many churches do we go to today that all they really know is the baptism of John? Have you been baptized? What does that mean for them? Well, have you been dunked, dipped, dry cleaned, sprinkled? What have you been? It all involves water because John's baptism was about water. Well, we were baptized with John's baptism. And his response was, wait, what? That was a baptism of repentance, looking forward to something that was yet to come. But that something that looks forward to is already here. And now things have changed. Now what you need to be baptized in is that name of Jesus Christ, that name which represents everything that God has accomplished for each one, your redemption, your salvation, your righteousness, your sanctification. Everything is yours now when you are fully immersed in that name. And the way you know that you are fully immersed in that name is when you manifest it, when you speak in tongues, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. That was his concern for them. He wasn't concerned with teaching them more scripture. Paul had already brought, or Apollos had already brought them to the point by scripture, which those in Ephesus, they know very little scripture. They were Gentiles. This is like an eye opener, really, for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, which we do. because they were at a place where they could simply acquiesce to more scripture. But Paul was saying, no. You don't need more of that. What you need is to now actively embrace what you've been given. Actively. And demonstrate it. Demonstrate to yourself that it's really in there. It's in there. Now manifest it. Manifest it. Because it's the manifestation of this power that really brings us past acquiescence and into the reality of an active reception by which we walk in. We begin to walk in it. We take action. Every action we take is based on the truth of what we have in Christ and the deliverance that we have, the sanctification we have, the righteousness we have. And what did he do? He helped them receive. He just didn't say, well, you know, you ought to think about it. No, he said, look, if you weren't baptized by this in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, then we got to get you there. That was the most important thing for Paul in his heart right then for those believers in Ephesus. He said to them, look, the baptism of John was just a baptism of repentance. It was just an outward way for you to express that you're repenting of everything that you've ever done wrong in your life. And you're right now at a point where you're ready to receive from God his provision for you, which is coming. Right? The Lamb of God. That's what John was talking about. Get ready. The Lamb of God is about ready to be sacrificed for you. So be ready. According to the law, in order for them to participate in the Passover every year, they had to go through the rituals of cleansing themselves, offerings that they had to do, making sure they were right with God so that they could go and celebrate the Passover and receive that yearly forgiveness or covering for their sins. That's what John's baptism was all about. It was a continuation and actually the last step of the completion of the law for them. But he says to them, but you know what? It was all with the goal of them believing on him, which should come after him, believing on the one that would come after John, who was the Christ. That is on Christ Jesus, Christ Jesus. What a wonderful thing. And then when they heard this, it says, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Paul laid his hands upon them and the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. They spoke in tongues and prophesied. They began now to take it past that stage of acquiescence, just a passive acceptance, and really walking in it, really taking action and saying, okay, just like we did that one moment in our lives when we said, okay, it's true. I'll act on that belief. And we opened our mouths and we spoke in tongues the wonderful works of God, magnifying God by that manifestation of speaking in tongues. That's where those people were at. And it was at that moment, at that very moment, that they knew that they were filled with all the power of God, filled with all the fullness of God, because they knew that they had that Holy Spirit and they knew they could do the works that Jesus Christ did and greater. That's where we're at. We don't just simply acquiesce to this reality of it's Christ in us. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, isn't that great? No, we embrace it and we manifest it. We walk in it. That's what makes the difference. You know, when Paul went about preaching, he isn't standing there preaching more scripture to them. He's bringing them right to the core issue. Have you manifested this power yet? because it's yours. It's in you. And he demonstrated that power. It says in Corinthians that when he came to Corinth, he didn't just preach eloquent words. He didn't just have man's wisdom flowing out of his mouth. He demonstrated the power of the gospel. He demonstrated that power. And that's what caused them to believe. That's what causes us to believe. Right? Isn't it when we really saw the power that we really decide? Yeah, and believe me, I was loved like I was never loved before. Like Vita was sharing, you know, we're all been loved like we've never been loved before when we're around people who are really walking with God and walking because they know God's grace. They know God's love by experience. They've seen him work. They've seen him do things. That's when we really begin our walk with God, is when we have experienced his working in us. Yes, we read the scripture. We see what it says. And if we don't take it past just an acquiescence, just a passive reception, then we never really, really see those things that God has prepared for us that we could not have ever thought of in our mind and heart. He has prepared these things for us. If we will but walk in the power of that spirit that dwells within us and speak of it, speak by it, act by it, allow it to be the party of the first part, second part, third part, and all the rest of the parts. We allow it to be the main drive, the main motive, the main force in our lives, that Christ in us, that eye behind our eyes. Because it's the power that brings people to know. The love is part of that power. But then when people are seeing that there's something different in you, and they're seeing it because you're walking in that love, they're seeing it because you're conscious of that Christ in you. And they see. They don't know what it is. They can't put their finger on it, but they see. And that's where we come to that place where we recognize that, you know, it doesn't matter who we are in the flesh. It doesn't matter. You know, I'm not smart enough to do this stuff. No, he was your intellect. He was. He has made unto you wisdom and righteousness, sanctification. Well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not a good enough person to be that kind of a person that Paul was. Wait a minute. Paul wasn't a very good person either. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm glad you enjoyed that. But, you know, I'm not smart enough. Oh, well, Christ is your smarts. But I'm not good enough. Christ was good enough. He was the one who's good enough for you. But I have too many marks against me. Well, that's all right, because he is your righteousness. I don't have the money to pay for this redemption. That's okay. He is the money. He is the price of your redemption. I just don't have, I'm to this, I'm to that. You may very well be in your flesh, but in Christ, he is your all in all. He is everything that you need to be who God has called you to be, who God has called each of us to be. And that's different for each one of us, but it is not less in power. It is the same power, the same enablement for each one of us. We may have different positions, different roles to perform in this life and in the body of Christ. But not a one of them, not a one of them is of less power. Each and every one of us is filled with the same power. We are able to demonstrate that power in the same way, if we will but embrace it and really and truly receive it, lambano, in everything that we do. That's our goal. Will we do it all the time? No. Because we're people, then we wrestle with this flesh. But we still keep our eyes focused on that. That is who I desire to be with all of my heart and soul. That I desire to be the man that God has called me to be and God has enabled me to be. That's what I want most of it, of all of anything in life. And I know that's where you're at too. And as long as we maintain that focus, God will continue to work within us, to willing to do of his good pleasure and to see us performing as his sons and daughters, to see us living this life, which is more than abundant. It's filled with blessing. It's not filled with labor and chores and responsibilities. It's filled with blessings. Blessings. If we will but embrace them and not be as the others out there who just simply acquiesce. Right? We want to be those who move the mountain. We want to be those who walk on the water, don't we? We want to be those who raise the dead. What is a little diabetes when you can raise the dead? Nothing is too big for the power that dwells within us. Nothing. And that's what I beat myself over the head with every day when I wake up. Donnie, you're filled with God's power. So act like it. Oh, okay. I got you. I got you. That's why I can be free to love. That's why I can be free to do whatever God has called me to do today, with or without a knowledge of it, right? Even if it's just going to pick up some fabric, right? Is that something that God needs me to do today? Obviously. But without you needing, you know, a big billboard saying, I want you to go and impact this person's life, just go get the material from them. No. We just live our lives. Sometimes, yeah, the billboard's going to be there when we wake up. Go to the street called Straight. Find this guy and minister to that guy. Sometimes it's going to be there, but most of the time it's just going to be, get up, take a breath, thank God for his grace and his mercy, and get out there and live your life as a son or daughter of God. And show him the power. All right? So Father, thanks for your love and grace. Thank you for the way you continue to give us all that we need to walk with you, the way you continue to encourage us, the way you continue to bring us beyond what we have ever expected our lives to be and seated us in the heavenlies with you and set us as lights in this world, set us as those that represent you and your wonderful Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With every step we take, Father, with every breath we breathe, continue to remind us who you have made us. Thank you, Father, for doing that. Thank you that as we endeavor to walk with you, that we have fun. We have fun being your sons and daughters. We have fun living this life that is a life which is more than abundant in every way. Thanks, Father, for these things. Thank you for the way you dwell within us at all times, and that nothing can change what you have done for each of us in Christ, and that we are now truly born again of your Spirit, and we are heaven bound, and even death won't stop that. So, Father, thank you for these things. Thank you for the power that dwells within each of us and the words that we hear from you. In that powerful and awesome name of Jesus Christ. Would someone manifest, please?
You are truly my beloved ones. You are my children, and I love you deeply.
I will always be there for you. I will always protect you. And I always will infuse you with the power that you need to walk every day. So walk with me and talk with me and know that I am God and that I am your Heavenly Father, and I'll be there with you always.
Perjunto to Papa Spira Koto, Ontrafa Medekeroto, Vasil Koto to Fasidaba, La Tokofa Ramakota, Leto Tospala Kita, Lotofofa Meso Vaininoto, Lichitita. My sweet dear children, I look at you and I see my perfection that I've placed in you via Christ. You are my blessed ones. Do not fear. Do not ever guilt yourself. Do not ever condemn yourself, but walk in that great power that I've made available to you. Choose you this day, my people. Choose you this day, life and health and the splendor that I've made for you in Christ Jesus. Walk like he walked, because I have unleashed and unlimited the power of Christ in you.
Children, be not anxious or worry or fear. Know that I've got you. Know that I take care of you in all things great and small, all things on your heart, our concerns for me, that you trust me, that you walk with me and talk with me and share your total heart with me and love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love each other, my children, and let your lights shine and that tender loving care that you have for one another be as if it were the gathering, that not forsaking of yourselves being together, my children, and giving glory and honor to me and for me and about me. Because truly, my children, you are my glory, you are my power and manifestation. So fear not, don't listen to the adversary and his lies. Just consider him under your feet, just like bugs under your feet. You just stomp them out and keep moving, and know that greater is he that's in you than anything out there in the world, any power, any dominating force. Know, my children, that I'm with you in just every step you take and every breath. Just let go and let me help you and walk with you and talk with you. But you must seek me and desire me more than anything in this world. And know that I shall get you out of here before it gets too bad.
Gather my blessings in your heart this day. Hold them dear and don't let them go. Because I, the Lord thy God, have loved you from the beginning, and I will love you till the end. Go forth and speak my word as occasion gives, knowing that it will not come back void. For I, the Lord thy God, have spoken the world into being. I will speak power into being through you.
Amen. Awesome. It's great. Well, sometimes my people just sit there. That's awesome. Isn't God great?
Yeah.
He truly is awesome. Well,
put on some pants, Greg.
What, Tim?
Tim, you and Greg are awful.
I said, so put on some pants, Greg.
That's the place to go. I have my pants on, thank you.
Oh, you guys. That's great. Well,
us to keep growing in grace, you know, growing in grace where it's not about us, it's about him, and it's about his accomplished work in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures reveal that to us and how important it is to continue to study those things and to grow in that knowledge. You know, I also studied things, you know, the church in Thessalonica, I've often thought of them as like the believers in India, you know, where they didn't have a lot of religious structure, like lots of Christian churches to choose from kind of thing, how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and how their faith was made known abroad because they just so readily believed the word of truth, and how it sounded out from there, you know, from them in Macedonia and Achaia and in all those places, the word spread abroad. And it started out by verse 5 says in 1 Thessalonians 1, for your gospel came not unto you, our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, that genuine persuasion that we know, that we know, that we know, as we know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. We, you know, it's the walk of the word of God and power, the word of God and power. And, you know, they're God's calling cards when we see those incredible miracles and healing take place. And sometimes healing is just, it's just a byproduct of hearing the word of God. And sometimes it takes a minute, depending, you know, and how I've just been very blessed with everyone sharing today. And thank you very much. And come quickly, Lord Jesus, you know, we with patience wait. And it's one thing I'll comment on, and I won't elaborate, but maybe next time, is that we truly have been delivered from the wrath to come. And there's wrath that we see out there in the daily world, and we think it's crazy now, but when it talks about the wrath, the article, the wrath to come is going to be beyond any ugly thing you could ever imagine. And we've already been delivered from that. We've escaped the wrath to come. So God has, like it talks about us, the harpazo, that those of us who are alive and remain and shall be caught up, harpazo, caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That being snatched out of here, that harpazo, it's as if one of the connotations of that word harpazo is as if we are that perfect ripe fruit that's ready to be plucked out of here before it goes rotten, because it's not going to get that bad for us. We will be gone. We will be out of here no matter what's happening. You know, we have promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So we don't fear their fear or be afraid. We trust, but part of the way to offset some of that is that we do fellowship together one another and have that like-minded iron sharpeneth iron, and we grow in that grace together. You know, it's not a lonely walk. It's one that God intended for us in this administration to embrace and to share together. So thank you, Donnie, for an amazing teaching. You're always such a joy, and I'm so blessed to be your wife.
Amen to that.
Hey,
me too. Justin
sitting there?
Yeah, he was. He just got up, and I think he had to go to the bathroom.
Okay. Justin and Donnie, I love him.
I will. Love you. Thanks for sharing that stuff. Yeah, it's these times together, there's nothing better. Nothing better. The only thing that can be better than this is when the Lord comes back, right?
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's with everybody participating. That's why it's really such has such an impact on our lives, right? because it's Christ in each one of us. So we all participate in what God has prepared for us. So it's great. Yeah.
One other question.
Huh?
Go back. So can you hear?
Yeah, we can hear you.
They don't know.
Yeah, they didn't know they weren't muted. She's just muted. That's funny. Oh, good. Oh, boy. That's awesome. Hey, oh, Carrie's there. Hey, Carrie. I noticed you before, but I didn't say hi. Hi, Carrie.
Hello. How y'all doing?
Good. How are you?
Great teaching. Great teaching. Good.
Okay. Thank you.
And I love the sharing that Patty did, too.
Everybody. Yeah, everything.
Very encouraging.
Good. Yeah.
It needs to get out. Yeah.
Hey, what? All right. Well, anything else?
I had a question.
Huh?
I had a question.
Oh, okay.
It's your wife.
I kind of recognize that voice.
Well, you know, it's coming through a different format. So Anthony and Ashley, are they on there or nope. Matt and Ann?
Nope. Didn't see either one of those guys. Nope. So, okay. Yeah.
And I love all you guys. I did see, I think everyone who was on then. So
everybody's still there that was here, except.
Yeah.
As Michael said goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Have a great week, everybody. We love you.
All right. Love you too, honey.
Bye, Patty. Bye, Kathy.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, Vita. Bye, Karen and Charlie, Andrew, Carrie.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye, John Boy.
Avita Sane, Vikert.
Oh. Bye, Kurt.
Brushing up on my German. All right, Andrew. God bless you, man.
All right.
Bye, Andrew. Guys. Bye.
Love all you guys.
All right. Love everyone. God bless you. Have a great week.
God bless. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
See you, Greg.
See you.
Karen and Greg.